We all know the big game can get pretty unpredictable, which is why you need a connection that is anything but to watch it. With the Xfinity 10G network, you get the reliable connection you need to stream your favorite sports, from football to football, everything in between. Catch it all on the network made for streaming. Treat yourself to front row seats to all the games and get way more into all the sports you're into when you stream on the next generation Xfinity 10G network.
Welcome back to another episode of Kane Collects, and you guys know I always say it, you can collect it, I'll talk about it, and this is an episode a lot of people have been waiting for. It's basically the first sneaker episode. I'm going to do a bunch of these, but this is the first one, and I'm really happy to have on with me for this episode, Jake Schreier. He's the owner, the co-founder of the Michigan Sneaker Exchange. If you don't know about it, it's a huge sneaker show that happens right here in Detroit, Michigan. Jake, man, thanks for coming on.
Appreciate you having me, man. We're super excited for this Saturday and definitely wanted to take a second to talk about the event, kind of what we got going on and everything else in the mix.
Yeah, this event's huge. If you're a sneakerhead or if you just enjoy sneakers, looking at them, you know, obviously buy, sell, and collect all that. But if you even just want to look at some really cool sneakers, I advise you to head on down there. And we'll get more into the event and the details like that. But let's just get into the sneaker game itself, Jake. I mean, how did you personally get into like just the love of sneakers and things like that? What was it? Was it a shoe that first got it off for you?
So I got into it probably, I want to say 25 now, probably 12, 13 years ago is when I really kind of dove into it. I started getting in like the streetwear scene when I was younger in middle school, going to places like Birmingham, going to stores like Revive was kind of the cool thing to do. And it just kind of set me into the clothing market, the accessory market, and it just led to shoes. And I kind of got into it because my brother and some of our friends were into Nike SBs and going to our local store, which was Pogo at the time in Birmingham, and just getting all the SBs. I remember looking on Flight Club in middle school, always going to the highest priced and kind of seeing all the coolest, rarest pairs, which at the time were unaffordable and now are even much more unaffordable with how the market has went. But that's kind of what got me started in it and just really realizing like, okay, I want to buy these shoes, but it's an expensive hobby to have. So I got to have a way to keep up. I got to figure out a way to make money doing it. And it just so happened that shoes were also at the time kind of taking off with reselling and just more so being able to buy off other resellers and sell to your own market. So kind of just went from there.
That's awesome, man. When you can combine your love and passion into making a career or a job out of it, I mean, that's what we all wish we could do, right? If we're not doing it already. So, definitely. But in the end, it is a business. So, or I mean, at least for you, not for everybody, obviously, but like, so how do you feel about like, with that being said, how do you feel about where the shoe game has gone, the sneaker game has gone and just the market and things like that? I know obviously you like it, but I mean, as for your average, maybe Joe collector, who's just trying to get a pair here and there.
So I think it's definitely interesting as it's went. In my opinion, the sneaker market is like all other markets. People are going to say at times it's dead. People are going to say it's overinflated. If you're in it, you have to adjust no matter what. So, for example, when StockX and GOAT kind of launched, I think it was around 2016, it quickly kind of took over and became, it went from when you used to be a reseller, it depended where you sold. So if you sold to maybe a lower market, you maybe went on the Facebook groups and that's where you would get your prices from, versus I was someone who would buy a lot of brand new stuff, go to shows, buy brand new stuff and ship them off to different consignment shops. So we would go off Flight Club, subtract the consignment fee and kind of get a base price from there. So it just quickly became StockX and GOAT are the places where you want to know what the market is. These are the lowest prices. This is where everyone's going for it. So in my opinion, I definitely think it was easier when we started. It was less saturated. Definitely less just with the economy changing. I mean, like I said, I used to look at Nike SB What the Dunk Lows on Flight Club, and it was $1,000 at the time, which was just absolutely insane to spend on shoes. Still is to a lot of people, but that same shoe is $10,000 to $15,000 now. So the high end shoes back when I started were $500 to $1,000, versus now it's like $7,000 to $15,000 is the regular high end price for a lot of these samples and rare Nike SBs and kind of all these things where the market took off. So I think it's really just like anything else. You have to constantly adjust. You have to be able to adapt to it. And a lot of people aren't willing to do that And it kind of stems from two. I mean, some people look at it and go, oh my God, the market dropped. I don't want to lose this money on this item. But the reality is, if you take this 5% loss, you might be able to reinvest it and make 20% on this next item. So I think really just looking at it strategically and being able to constantly evolve when the market evolves. I mean, more and more people are going to get into it, which has its benefits and downsides. There's more competition selling, but there's also many more buyers on the market now. You go to your local mall, you're going to see damn near everybody is wearing Dunks, Jordans, Yeezys versus 10 years ago, you see someone wearing Dunks, Jordan, Yeezys. You almost want to start a conversation with them off the fact that, you know, they're a sneakerhead. Now it's just kind of mainstream. Anyone can get into it.
It's incredibly mainstream. And for those that are just like kind of dabble in it or just getting into it or don't know much about it, for like cards, for example, a good place to go to check out maybe what the value of your cards are for like eBay and a 130 point card ladder. Would you say like GOAT and StockX are good places to check what maybe shoes are going for and worth for sneakerheads and shoe collectors?
I think it's the most accurate market value right now. The one downside of it is with rare items, sometimes you have either a sale that didn't go through because the buyer had a fake credit card, or you have a seller that sold something for a ridiculous price but didn't really have it. So every now and then there's mixed in market data that's not as accurate. So with the rarer stuff, it's definitely like you really got to sit and do your research. Just because of one pair of what the Dunk sold for $50,000 on StockX doesn't mean that's what they're worth. There might be 20 other sales for $10,000 to $15,000. And you also got to factor in with those rare items, you'll have celebrities, for example, Travis Scott might have. There was a rumor that he bought a pair of Nike SB Paris Dunk Lows, which were going for $15,000 to $25,000. He bought a pair for $52,000 on StockX, or somebody did. That sale's not recorded on there. Everybody with a pair, it's such a rare shoe, now wants $50,000, $60,000. So there's benefits and downsides. I think generally it is the best way to check what a shoe is worth.
Thank you. Thank you for educating some of us out here. So like, for example, I'll bring up cards again. There are numbered cards, like whether it's numbered to 5, numbered to 99, one of ones, right? So in shoes, like you said, you speak of the rarity of it. Is it the market, setting the market is just, hey, until someone actually sells one or buys one, is that how you know where the market is? I mean, like I said, that's just one gauge, but is that kind of similar?
Yeah, it's very similar that it's really shoes like the samples that come out. For example, Jordan Brand's been doing a lot of college, university player exclusives, which have gotten stricter over the years, where they used to just give them out to the players. Now I've heard that U of M and some other colleges will actually make you keep the items in your locker. You can only wear them for the certain games or whatever you're supposed to wear them. And then when you graduate, you're given them. And it's because so many people, I mean, especially when these players weren't getting paid years ago, they're finding out the shoes that they're given for free for being on the team are worth $3,000 to $4,000. Of course, they're going to go sell it. So with the rarer stuff, it's definitely kind of a buyer's market, kind of a seller's market. It depends what the first seller on the market is listing it for and just what someone's willing to pay. I've seen a lot of the college player exclusives, especially the more popular Jordan models, go anywhere from $3,000 to $6,000 to start.
So you spoke earlier of the oversaturation, and like back in the day, if you saw someone wearing certain shoes, you're like, oh, that guy's a sneakerhead for sure. But now you could see the most basic people wearing, you know, the shoes, and it's everywhere. Oh. And it's, to me, I'm an old school guy, you know, I don't buy it as much anymore, kind of because of that, to be honest with you, because I see it like everywhere, everyone. I'm sure they don't even know who, maybe some of these people don't even know who Michael Jordan is, let alone wearing Jordan shoes and SBs and Dunk Lows. And I see the black and white ones like literally everywhere, you know, and I'm like, oh, this is, and it's a cool shoe. Don't even get me wrong, I like this shoe, but I'm like, I don't even think I wear it now because it's just everywhere. Nope. So how do you deal with something like that in your market? Because I know in the card market, when something gets overproduced, people are like, hey, that's just too many of these.
So it's definitely, I mean, for me, it's the same thing being into it so long, where I'll see like a Panda Dunk. I'm really just not a fan of. I'm not against it, but I see everybody wearing it. It's just not something I'm going to wear. I like to stick to stuff that's more low key. You're not going to see as much, or just comfort at this point too. And I feel like with the saturation, it's nonstop. It's an evolving market. It's what's going to happen. And I think there's always ways to kind of steer away and just find your own avenue, find what you like, and always stick with that. That's what we tell people, is just buy what you like. Who cares what anyone else is wearing? And it happens to me all the time where I'll love a shoe, I want it so bad, and right when it's about to come out, I'm like, I've seen 3,000 pictures on Instagram. And it happens the other way around. For a perfect example is the Born and Raised Nike SB that just came out. Was super hyped up. I was not a fan. I didn't like the fat swoosh. I just wasn't a fan of the shoe. Just just it wasn't for me. And I told one of my employees, I said, I feel like when that comes out, for some reason, it's going to grow on me. I'm going to like it. And I got a pair the other day. So I feel like at the end of the day, just buy whatever you like. Doesn't matter what someone else is wearing, what someone else is into. Just whatever fits you is what you go for. And best thing about this, if you get a shoe that you're sick of, you can go sell it. You can bring it to Michigan Sneaker Exchange or wherever you want.
Yeah, that's the best advice for any collector. Collect what you like, buy what you like, and you can't go wrong. You know, you start following fads too much and things like that, then you're going to be stuck with stuff maybe you don't necessarily like. And like you talk about comfort, I've actually switched, like not switched, but now I'm just kind of almost exclusive like Air Max 90s just because I just enjoy the shoe. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I've been on New Balances.
Yeah, and that's another thing I want to bring up too in a minute too is the New Balance, like how they've come on and things like that. But like, so... Actually, let's just talk about it right now since you brought it up. Like, so talk to people who thought, like, at one point, New Balance was the like the lawn cutting dad shoe, right? Brand or whatever. New Balance, talk to me about your thoughts on them and them in the game now.
I think it's the same thing. ASICS is coming back so big right now. I think it's really just comes down to what type of product they're putting out, how they're pushing marketing, and just at the end of the day, what that one item is that gets the hype back. For example, with New Balance, I see it as, I think it was 2021 around then. Of course, New Balance has been hyped for a long time. They've been doing great collabs for years, especially with brands like Kith and whatnot. But I think around 2021, when they brought back the 2002 R and they made it the protection pack version, kind of with the frayed edges and whatnot, I think it just grabbed a lot of hype because it was something different. It's something that goes with a lot of today's fashion. And at the end of the day, it's affordable. It's around $200, $250, and it's comfortable. So it kind of checked off everything on the list. And it just goes back to, for example, Nike basketball isn't worn as much now as it was, say, 2016. It just doesn't fit with fashion trends. ASICS, just recently, the past few months, they've been kind of going viral on TikTok, and all the resale stores are starting to resell some of the more basic pairs because they're popular. But it comes down to them, one, them being comfortable, and two, they just fit with today's fashion. If people can put them together with an outfit with the hype brands, I mean, it's what we see all the time in our stores at the events. People just want to have an outfit that flows, and it works out perfect.
So it's crazy because, like with basketball shoes, for example, athletes were the ones who led the way to start this thing. Like it was cool when like the best ball players were wearing this brand or this shoe. And you mentioned it many times already, fashion and pop culture now is driving the market. Do you find that, like, how much are the athletes, you know, driving your market compared to what they used to? And, or is it just exclusively, hey, Jack Harlow wears New Balance and Travis Scott wears Nikes or whatever? What's the percentages you would put it at as far as celebrities and athletes driving the shoe market?
I'd say celebrities are more pull than the athletes at this point. People don't typically say, oh, LeBron. I mean, every now and then LeBron will wear like an old pair of Nike SBs and it goes crazy because it's LeBron. He's wearing a shoe that you really don't see anymore. It's cool that he even knew what that was to obtain it. But I feel like athletes are following the trends as much as the general population at this point. I think some celebrities have pull. I think they used to have much more than they used to. I think now it's kind of just TikTok trends, Instagram trends. What do you see the most on your feed versus what are these guys wearing? Of course, Travis Scott can make certain shoes go up in value like he did with almost all the Nike SBs. He's responsible a lot for the SB market increasing so much. Of course, that's not all him, but he would wear certain pairs and the next day they're double, triple in price. So it's kind of similar to how Kanye, I want to say 2014 to 2016 kind of era, would wear like the Jordan 1 Breads and Jordan 1 Royals and they'd shoot up in price. The Flyknit trainers, just so many pairs that these celebrities wore and kind of skyrocketed in price. But I think it's definitely shifted away from athletes. And I think for the majority, most of these guys are just following the same trends they're seeing online. And it's less of one person starting the trend and more of just Instagram doing what it's supposed to, TikTok doing what it's supposed to.
Yeah, like I said, because I mentioned earlier, like maybe a lot of these people didn't know Michael Jordan played basketball. And those shoes that everyone's wearing with the, you know, when they re-released with different color packages and colorways and all that, that they were originally basketball shoes, but it's become such a fashion statement now. Like those are fashion shoes, you know, like the 11s are some of my favorites, but and people don't wear them to play basketball anymore. They wear them out. They wear them with their clothes, like you said, you know? And so how do you feel about, you mentioned like, everyone's pretty much following like maybe the rappers and the celebrities. So what about like shoes like Kobe's? And you said maybe not LeBron's as much, but like other athletes, are there any other athletes that carry weight still as far as trend setting and things like that as their sneakers?
I think Kobe will forever, just off, I mean, the simple fact it's Kobe, he's not here anymore. Rest in peace. And I mean, at the end of the day, people just always want to collect that item. When he passed, all his stuff shot up in price. Everybody wanted a piece of what Kobe had to offer. And even today, I think the Christmas Grinches came out on Nike, and people still go crazy over it. People still want those. I think people will wear those more with today's fashion, just off the hype and the fact that, for example, LeBron, I feel like after LeBron 9, there were so many high tops and so many basketball driven shoes that steered away from the fashion aspect. And that's where it kind of, I don't want to say left the sneaker resale market, but the resale market doesn't touch them as much. They're not as popular in today's fashion. But I think Kobe is definitely killing it. I noticed LaMelo Ball's shoes with Puma were pretty popular when they came out. And it comes down to more so a lot of people want to play basketball on them, and they're also able to wear them regularly because it's a cool looking shoe. So I think if you kind of have the wearability of it for both fashion and use in sports basketball, I think it benefits more now. But we just don't see as much Nike basketball as we used to. I mean, we used to carry it in our shops all the time, and it just doesn't sell like it used to.
Yeah, and then you mentioned Kobe, maybe just because he was so iconic, he was able to carry some weight still, like his wife.
Yep.
It came out the shoe with their daughter, the Mamacitas and all that. Yep. So
And that was one of the most popular shoes in a long time. I mean, it was one of Nike's biggest releases all year. People went crazy when they redropped all those. And I feel like those will just always be timeless.
So you mentioned also in 2021 earlier, with the card market, the pandemic blew up the card market, and now it's leveled back down to probably where it should be, still above what it was pre-pandemic. But was there any kind of similar effect for the shoe market with the pandemic?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people were just spending left and right. Everybody had money. Everybody was sitting at home, and they just, I mean, what better to do? You're sitting and staring at your living room for months on end. May as well spend some money. It was the same thing with the home goods market, the accessory market, like Bear Bricks and collectibles and just art too, because we're also into that. And just all those resale markets absolutely blew up because one, people had the money, and two, there was just demand for it. And we reopened our store pretty early on in the pandemic, but I realized so many people weren't open. It made it harder to get. You're on the internet all day, kind of killing time at home, and you're just buying up items because you're seeing them all day in front of you. You can't really go see them in person. So I think people were just more intending to just make purchases, kind of not caring. Everybody had some extra money, and it's kind of the best time to buy all the things you want.
So what are your thoughts on like apps trying to get into like, you know, getting in waiting lines and things like that to get shoes and bots and all that stuff? Like, how do you think, what are your thoughts on that whole process? And just, you know, like I said, your average guy trying to get a pair of shoes.
So I've got a lot of friends that I've been into bots over the years, a lot less now than it used to be when it was kind of really picking up, like 2015 to 2020 era, I'd say. At the end of the day, I think there's just no easy way to combat it. I think the apps at the end of, like, even when they say there's no bots that are going to get through, I know people that hit 20 pairs of that shoe with their bot. So I think it just, at the end of the day, if you're putting in the work, the time to code a bot, I mean, go for it. Get what you can. And if you're a regular consumer, it's just the market we're in. There's this much popularity. There's this much demand for an item, whether people are buying it to keep or resell. At the end of the day, I mean, whoever gets it. And sometimes you got to pay resale. My thoughts have always been, I'm involved in both sides of the sneaker market. I'm a collector. I'm in the community, but I also will resell items. So if I miss it on retail, I got to pay resale. It's just tough luck sometimes. That's how it has to go. But I think at the end of the day, if you're really just trying to get something to wear, of course you should have a fair chance, but there's only 5,000 pairs of this shoe and there's 50,000 people that want to wear it, 50,000 that want to resell it. There's no way to properly manage that from Nike's aspect or Foot Locker, or any of them. I think it's just the best they can do is try to adapt, try to be against bots as much as they can, but you'll never completely be able to block everybody out.
Yeah, it is tough. Well, you just spoke of it. What makes it for Jake Schreier, like, what is your thought process on when you buy a shoe? Do I wear this or do I hold on to it for a little bit and make sure, you know, is this going to be valuable or what? How do you decide when to wear a shoe or not?
I think it just depends on the shoe. A lot of the time when I'm buying a personal shoe, I always have somewhat bad luck with it where I say I'll wear something and then it shoots up in value, or vice versa, I won't wear it, it shoots down in value. So at the end of the day, I buy what I like. A lot of the SBs that have been coming out, I haven't gotten any wear into those. The Born and Raised, Toritos, the Udos. They're all great pairs, all just kind of iconic in their own way, the designs, the quality, the colorways. So I definitely enjoy owning those. I'll wear them all eventually, but a lot of the newer pairs, I kind of prefer to wait a little bit to wear just until certain stuff, like when the Lost and Found ones came back out last year, the Chicagos, those I kind of wore immediately for 2 months straight just because it was an iconic shoe. It goes with everything. Some of the newer shoes like the SBs, probably I won't get anywhere in them for a couple more months just off the fact that a lot of people are wearing them right now. I kind of like to wait until, you know, you're not going to walk out in the mall and see five people wearing the same thing. So it just depends on what it is. Of course, for our event, I usually pull out like a more recent pair, hype pair that came out that goes with whatever merch we're doing. But other than that, I think at the end of the day, it's just, if you're collecting it and you're buying it because you like it, it doesn't really matter what the price is. I've had some of my favorite shoes shoot down in price $1,000 in the time I've owned them. And I've had some shoot up thousands of dollars. So there's just no predicting the future. You just got to buy what you like and wear what you like.
So with sports and things like that, which we do a lot on this podcast, is game worn. All right. Game worn shoes. Those are incredibly expensive because they're worn in a game, right? Maybe it's a playoff game. Maybe it's an NBA finals. Maybe it's a, you know, regular season game. Is there anything like that in the sneaker department? Like, hey, Kanye wore these, or Travis Scott, or Meek Mill. Like, is it make it more valuable, or does it not make a difference?
It's really specific. So a lot of people, like, I remember there used to be a pair of Air Yeezy ones going around on the Facebook groups I'm in, and Big Sean had signed them. And it's like, yeah, he's part of good music. So certain people saw the value. Certain people were like, why did Big Sean sign a Yeezy? So it's things like that versus, I know a pair of Nigo, who founded Bape, had a pair of his Kanye Bapestas that came out in, I believe, 06. And Kanye had signed them and written him a little note on them. They just got auctioned and went for $100,000. So something like that has a ton of value off the history. Nigo made it. It was his personal pair. He made it in collaboration with Kanye, who signed the shoe to Nigo, who's a legend in his own. So things like that definitely have value. Game worn Michael Jordan shoes, of course, have ridiculous value. But I think it's really specific to the player, and it just depends what market you're pushing it to. So if you're pushing a general sneaker market, a signed Kanye Yeezy is going to go crazy. A signed pair of Air Jordan 1s by Michael Jordan is going to go crazy, versus Steph Curry shoe is more specific to people that are Steph Curry fans and whatnot, versus I think a lot of the bigger names just are more mainstream, and anybody in shoes is interested in it and sees the history over it.
What are like Eminem Jordans from like the Super Bowl or something? Like, I mean, with
those two, yeah. He's always caught wearing like a pair of Jordan 3s that has an E on the back or something. So people are always going crazy hoping those come out. I mean, the original Encore Jordan 4, the blue pair still goes for 30,000 plus if you can even find it. His Carhartt pair is still going for 20,000.
Well, I was just going to ask you, like, how do you value something? Like, is Eminem wears these shoes that are like for him, and you see him wear them, like you mentioned, like at certain performances, award shows, whatever. Like, how do you value something like that? If Eminem, I mean, you just put up on it for auction, and then that's what the value is, or what? Like,
I think a lot of people that get their hands on them are typically, from what I know, I had a friend who was a big sample reseller. He would buy a lot of the rare pairs, and that's kind of what he would stick to with his market. He had a big group of buyers for those type of items, so he kind of would gauge the market with them. And a lot of the time, if you're the first one with that shoe or the only one with that shoe, you can put any price you want on it. So sometimes someone might say, hey, I got Eminem shoe, 10 grand. And someone else might go, oh, I know my buyers will pay 20 for that. They buy it, get that 10 grand off the market, make it disappear, and now it's 20 grand. So it really comes down to whatever the seller wants to charge and whatever someone's willing to pay at the end of the day.
All right, before we get to the show real quick, I'd like, Jake, what are your, you got top five favorite shoes? Is it hard? It might be really hard for you. I know you
probably— I haven't thought of it in a while because there's so many new pairs, but I'll do like a mix of my original favorite shoes and kind of my favorites that I own right now. I'd say, so Tiffany Nike SB Low is like the shoe that got me into shoes. I've probably owned 50, 60 pairs over the past 10 plus years. I luckily still have one pair. I never really wear them, but just my favorite shoe, just what got me into shoes. In terms of Jordans, Royal Jordan 1s were my favorites for the longest. I actually just got a pair back. I didn't have one for years, but that was, I wasn't into Jordans when I first got into shoes, just SBs. So the Royal 1s kind of got me into it. Red Supreme Blazers, Nike SBs, that it's another shoe that just doesn't go with today's style as much. It was still one of my favorites. I just recently sold my last pair of them. It's just not something I really would wear as much, but enjoyed looking at. In terms of two more pairs I've got right now, I'd say that are my favorites. I think the Black Cement Jordan 3 is just a timeless classic. It's one of the best. I've always liked 4s too, but the Black Cement 3 over the Bred 4s any day. Anytime I sell my Black Cement 3s, I end up buying a pair back at some point. And then I'd have to say the New Balance, I think it is the 1906. So there's the 2002R protection pack and the 1906 protection pack. I've been wearing the 1906 for months straight, every single day. I just noticed there's rips in the inside. I have to get a new pair, but it's the most comfortable shoe. I've worn it through rain, snow, mud, doesn't matter. It still stays somewhat clean and just goes with everything, honestly. It just, at the end of the day, comfortable, easy to run around in, easy to get stuff done in.
Awesome, awesome. So Jake Schreier, the owner, co-founder of Michigan Sneaker Exchange. Let's talk about the show, man. It's coming up here. First of all, are you full of vendors? Can anyone get in? I know you was like one or two left and time of taping right now, people. So I don't know if it's going to be any left by the time you hear this, but if someone wants to be a vendor, how can they do that?
So it's always a mix up when we get to the 2 weeks leading up to the event. We've been throwing it for over 10 years and we've sold out of tables every event ever historically. We've never, you know, you'll never show up to an event and see 15 extra tables open or anything like that. So it's really gets crazy the week of. We have one or two spots right now. You can visit our site, michigansneakerexchange.com, and fill out a vendor form, or just go to the bottom, shoot us an email directly so we get back to you a little quicker. We likely can fit in a couple more. I don't know when the show drops if we'll have the room, but we'll always do the best we can to fit anybody in that of course wants to vend at the event. But yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great time. We got over 125 vendors right now. Got some awesome sponsors. They're going to have some cool setups in there. So it's going to be a great time.
All right. Can you tell people what the date, time, and where it's at?
So it's this Saturday from 12 to 7 p.m. at Huntington Place in Detroit. Huntington Place, of course, has changed names 3 times over the past few years. So it's Kobo. I can't remember what their name was before this, but we're going to be in the grand ballroom right next to the cafeteria in there. Main floor, super easy to find. You can get tickets all day at the door. You can get them on our site at michigansneakerexchange.com. And it's going to be a great time. We have a lot of people coming out.
So this Saturday, December 2nd, what are the times there?
It starts at 12 and it goes till 7 p.m. And then we sell VIP tickets as pre-sale only online. So if you want to get a pre-sale ticket in advance, you can get in the venue at 11 a.m. And then you can also bring a dolly in to kind of carry your items around.
So for someone who's never been, what can they expect? And for people who have been before, is there anything different this year?
So for people who have never been, it's basically the biggest live sneaker and streetwear marketplace in Michigan, almost in the Midwest. We've been throwing it for over 10 years. We get thousands of people out, well over 100 vendors. We specifically curate the vendors to have a certain amount of each category. So we allow 10 to 15 local clothing brands. We'll have 10 to 15 local streetwear resellers who sell things like Supreme, Bape, Off-White, Chrome Hearts, those type of popular clothing brands. And then we've got almost 100 strictly sneaker vendors that come out. You're going to find every pair of sneakers you see online. You're going to get to see them in person. Everybody's an individual vendor, so you can always negotiate, kind of talk people down. You can bring your own sneakers and streetwear to trade and sell if you have some in your closet. You want some extra holiday cash. And it's just an awesome experience. It's the biggest live marketplace you'll see in Michigan. It really just fuses everything from sneakers and streetwear together. We've got Network, Monster, Sunnies, and Jars as our sponsors. So they all do setups that kind of collaborate with the event. For example, Jars is doing, we're going to have our friend Just by Juliana doing a live painting of a custom shoe. And then you'll have the opportunity to win a free pair of custom shoes of your choosing by just visiting their booth. Monster kind of fuels the room all day. Our friends at Network are a live streaming sneaker, streetwear, and kind of accessory app. So we'll be live streaming at the event. And then we do a virtual Michigan Sneaker Exchange with them a week later with like 10 of our top vendors. And then Sunnies is a local sneaker store. So they're going to be setting up, giving out free Sunnies merch, helping people authenticate shoes. It just really, basically all the culture of sneaker and streetwear come together in one place one day. We do it 3 times a year and it's just an awesome time. Any and everyone is welcome, all walks of life, all ages. It's a safe and fun time for everybody.
That sounds awesome. It sounds like eerily similar to a card show, to be honest with you, where I was going to ask you, you can bring stuff to sell because those vendors are looking to buy as well too and trade, you said too?
Yep. Our vendors are definitely looking to buy and trade. And then we have people that drive from throughout the Midwest, local stores in Michigan, who come out there with sometimes tens of thousands of dollars, just do nothing, but buy as many shoes as possible. So we have one guy that came out, I think he bought like 500 pairs last time. They're trying to buy over 500 this time. We've got guys messaging us, telling us they're coming in, trying to buy a few hundred. So it's definitely a good place to cash out your items too.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you said, like, it, like I said, it's similar to card show as negotiable, work out a deal with the vendor, right? I mean, nothing is necessarily, the sticker price may not be the actual price, right? So.
Exactly. And I mean, some people usually like to compare to apps like StockX and Goat in person. And a lot of people don't factor in the fees you have to pay on there. So sometimes you might come to our event, you might pay a little above, but it's the fact that you're getting it there in person. You don't have to wait, especially around the holidays. You're likely not going to get stuff by Christmas, ordering in the next week or so. So sometimes you're paying a little bit of a premium just to get it there in person. A lot of time, a lot of the sellers are very negotiable. You'll end up getting a much better deal and you'll get online. You get to walk right out with it too. And then on top of it, it's just great to network, make connections, find that one reseller who has everything, all the dunks you're looking for. That could be your Shoe Connect now. You can message them on Instagram anytime. They always keep stock on hand and you can buy from them all the time and come back to the events to find some new stuff too.
That's awesome. I mean, like you mentioned other things that are going on. Have you ever thought about like celebrity, like, I don't know, signer or guest, an open forum to talk, you know, about shoes and things like that? Or do you think that take away from the actual event itself?
So we've kind of done our own thing for a while where we strictly run the event how it is and just focus on leveling up. First of all, our vendors, we realize vendors come first. They're spending extra money to set up a table. They're getting there early, 8 a.m. They're going till 8 p.m., setting everything up, taking it down, getting it in the venue. So we try to make sure they're really taken care of. We make them happy. If we make them happy when the customers come in, all the vendors are smiling, talkative, and it's just a trickle down effect to make our customers happy as well. So that's always been our priority. We had some special guests we were going to book this time. We ended up having some extra costs from our venue just to make the whole setup process much easier. So we wanted to take this event to just introduce some new setup procedures for our vendors, get more people into the room, spend some extra on advertising. But this March, which is our yearly kind of anniversary event, this will be year 11. That's where we are going to introduce some special guests, some local celebrities, local rappers. We definitely more so are aiming it at the content side and kind of walking them through, getting them to see the event, getting content from it, and getting them to connect with and shop with some of our vendors more than having these guys do a performance. We know they can kind of take away. So we're also strategizing a way to do an event in the future, maybe for our winter events, where it's a little bit different. You're paying a little bit of a higher admission fee, but you're going to have more factors. We might have a little card show within the sneaker show. We're going to have performances after the event, so it doesn't take away during the event. And just kind of adding new factors into it that just merge the culture together that much more.
Oh, that sounds awesome. So you said you've been doing it 10 years, three times a year. March is your kind of anniversary type show. Any huge, like, you know, any celebrities or athletes or musicians that walk through looking to buy, through the years or anything like that?
So it, of course, always happens where with the professional athletes, it's based on their schedule. We got unlucky this time where the Lions have a away game the next day. So we had a few that usually will come out and stop by, but they most likely won't be able to make it with, I'm sure they're going to be leaving town that day. Same thing with the Pistons. I think they have a game that day, but in the past we've had Lions players come through, a couple Pistons players, Babyface Ray has stopped by to shop, Baby Money, V's, All-Star JR. A lot of the local rappers have come without us even inviting them. Some of them we know from our stores and some of them just show up because they buy shoes and clothes. They love it. They stop by, grab some stuff. And it's great for our vendors and sellers too. Everybody kind of loves seeing all those people just in a normal interaction. And I always tell people when you come to Michigan Sneaker Exchange, everyone is equal. Everyone's the same. No one's better than anybody. So you want to go negotiate on the shoe, walk up and talk to the person. The worst you're going to get to know. So we definitely have had a lot of people come through over the years. And that's where in March, we're going to start booking a few guys and just sending out more and more invites. So we get more of that crowd in the room where you just get that community feeling. People from every walk of life are really attending the event.
That's awesome, man. Can you plug that website one more time for people that want to buy tickets or attend or find out any more information?
Yep. It's michigansneakerexchange.com. And if you can't find that, just go to our Instagram, Michigan Sneaker Exchange. This is the logo you'll see right on the profile picture. Kind of describes our event as best as you can. And you can go on there. The Instagram kind of has all the info. We'll be posting more and more details and giveaways as we get up to the event. And then the sites where you'll go for tickets, photo gallery, kind of check out past videos of the event, a little of everything.
Awesome. Awesome. Jake, thanks for joining me, man. I'm going to have you on again. Definitely before the March show. We're going to do a few more sneaker episodes and things like that, especially if maybe there's a big sale or something crazy happens. Love to have you on and have your thoughts on that.
Awesome.
Definitely go down there. People check it out. Huh?
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely, man. So people, if you like, I always say, if you like the podcast, please tell a friend. Kang Collects, KHANG on Apple, Spotify, Odyssey. And as always, keep collecting. If you collect what you love, you can't go wrong.